to Dr. Craig Knight, who's a psychologist at Exeter University. Morning, Craig. Warm welcome.
Good morning, Molly. Nice to hear you.
Oh, it's lovely to hear from you. Are you currently, Craig, at a desk?
I am, yes. I'm sitting at my desk at home talking to you right now.
Now, before we even commence with this interview, what are we looking at? What are you looking at now? Describe it for us. Let's analyse you first.
Why not? I'm sitting at a computer screen. I've got a printer to my right, a pile of papers to my left, and a note jotting pad in front of me ready to talk to you.
What is it? Is it dusted? Is it a clean desk? Is that all that's on it?
It's not too bad. I mean, what have I got? In terms of personal stuff, I've got a couple of flowers to my left here. I've got a bunch of croissants.
That's nice.
I've got a postcard my mother sent me from Scotland to the right of me.
Oh.
Apart from that, it's pretty much ready for work.
Okay, so not cluttered, just a little personalised. Now, do you think that's the optimum then for productivity?
No, Molly, I don't.
No, not really.
I think the optimum desk is whatever you like. You know, it's the kind of desk that makes you feel the most comfortable. There's something, for example, called the Caldera desk, which I really like. And the Caldera desk is incredibly messy. It's, if you like, sitting in the bowl of a volcano. That's the idea.
So
on either side of you, you have this sort of pile of junk, if you want. But it works really well because most people at a Caldera desk have the stuff they want right to hand at the top of each pile, so it's quite easy for people to work. And that tends to work quite well, surprisingly.
Forgive me, the Caldera desk, is that the term for a messy desk?
It can be, yeah. I mean, that's the really messy desk where you literally sit between two great piles of rubbish, you know? So it's sort of towering above you on either side.
But it can be
a messy desk, yeah.
But I can apply this logic to my car though, Craig. It's a junkyard, but I know where everything is, and whenever I need something, I know exactly where to put my hand.
Yeah, I think you're probably right with that. You know, I mean, one of the great benefits people will tell you of filing stuff away is that you can lay your hand on everything in, I don't know, 15 seconds. And that's probably true. If you want to embarrass somebody with a messy desk, ask them for a memo from last February, you know, they'll really struggle to find it. But if you say, what are you working on now, in less than 15 seconds, they can generally lay their hand straight on it.
Do you know, there's two strands of thinking here, Craig. There's the With loads of things, there's a strand of thought, as you just said, if you're comfortable with it, then that's great, it's your desk and you're comfortable. But then some, and I guess I'm pointing at bosses here who are probably doing this research, would say it's clutter and it's messing your head up.
Of course. And I can understand entirely, everybody can, if you take the manager's perspective, that if you take everything away from the desk, except what's needed for the job at hand, then what you're doing is giving somebody the ability to concentrate just on the job so they'll work better and be more productive. And you can kind of see the logic in that and understand where it comes from. But psychologically, you see, that just doesn't make sense.
No.
Because what you're doing there is you're putting somebody into an impoverished environment.
And I don't know about this empty desk equals a smaller brain. I mean, that's a bit ridiculous, isn't it?
Well, I'm not so sure about that. I mean, that's something that was Tom Dykos going to be doing on the programme tonight. I wouldn't necessarily hold with that particularly, but then, to be fair, I haven't studied that particular line. We've looked at well-being and productivity rather than sort of brain size, but so that's a top. Really.
You mentioned in the programme there, because we're all looking forward to The Secret Life of Buildings, which we thought was on Channel 4 tonight, but according to the news, it was on last night, so we've all missed it.
I do hope not, because I haven't seen
that's
it
what
either.
He said this morning. maybe it's wrong in the paper and it is on tonight. We'll have to find out. But all these findings have been revealed in this programme, The Secret Life of Buildings. Have you ever worked in an open plan office, Craig? How have you found it, if you have?
Yeah, I mean, my background is in office design. That's what I was doing before I sort of came into all this. And again, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with an open plan office. It's quite hard to find a bad space. It's very easy to find a space that's badly managed. And I think that's the thing. If you're happy in open plan, fine. If that's what you like, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with it.
I get distracted. If John Craven's in the vicinity, I don't pay attention to anything I'm doing. I'm just staring at him.
Oh, so would I. I mean, John Craven's a particular hero, you know, so I can understand that.
Everyone stares at John. He's very bad for the BBC. He really is. Do you think employers, though, and as you say you've got background in design, which is fabulous, do you think, or did you have to tell employers, are they aware enough about how the environment affects productivity from a specific worker?
No, I don't think they are at all. What's been happening in offices is for years they've been running on rule of thumb, okay? If you look at this clean desk, this lean office, I mean, the first desk specifically developed to be lean came about in 1915, and we've had offices that have been running this way since the turn of the last century. There's absolutely nothing new in it, okay? And that's why we started psychologically being interested in it, because we thought we'd struck on something that separated human